If you can't get enough of the Mixing Music Podcast and want three times the amount of episodes every week, subscribe to our exclusive content for only $4 a month or $40 a year at mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, the Liquid Sonic Sleuth.
I'm expensive, luxurious, and everybody wants me.
Yeah, you're just a splash of reverb. thank you to Matt Keed. Shout out to Matt Keed on YouTube for giving us that nickname. It's so bad and so good, and I love it. And we used it. So thank you, Matt Keed. Thank you for anybody that's on the live stream that is contributing. We've been live streaming for a couple hours now, way longer than we usually do because we've had a lot of great commentary, a lot of great questions, a lot of great conversations, a lot of great philosophy and thinking. And we haven't been recording for like the last hour of just answering questions. And I actually need to do some work today. So we're just going to start freaking recording. Okay, here's the thing. Today's episode is dedicated to the concept. There's a lot of questions that I think are very natural and normal to have that I want to be clear about is today's episode is all about what's worth putting thought into and what's not worth putting thought into. I am always a fan of, like, for example, here there's two opposing ideas. For example, if I tell you, if I, through my own personal experiences, tell you that I don't like the Neve 1073 into the C800G, into the Sony C800G, into the Neve 1073, into the CL1B, I don't like it. I don't think you should use it. There's the one opposing idea is that that's advice that you should take and you should consider. Another opposing idea is it took experience for me to come to that conclusion, and I don't want to ever take away experience for you to come to your own conclusion. So when I say that, it's more of like, consider that it may not be your favorite and it doesn't have to be, but I still think you should try the C800G into a 1073, into a CL1B, and my advice is more for you to be open and aware enough that you don't have to, you can consider it. It doesn't have to be your favorite, even though mainstream says it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's two opposing ideas. What we're trying not to do is to completely deny you of your thought processes, but we are here to tell you from our personal experiences, some things are worth thinking about and some things are not at all worth thinking about. And this is something that I'm going to talk about that's been very important to me and it's becoming more aware to me that I think will relate to, will make sense throughout the episode. So I'm going to say it right now is what we were talking about earlier. The golden rule which is treat others like you want to be treated, is not that in Japan. From my culture, Japanese culture, the golden rule is you don't be a nuisance. You don't mm-hmm. bother people. And I think that's going to be a big part of the business, of how we work, the things that we've been talking about. At a higher level, it's not, the skill is only there to help you not be a nuisance. And if you're going to fight about, this is not the DAW that I use, can you send it in the DAW that I use? You will lose a job. You're just being a nuisance. So this was going to be directly correlated to the business and growing a career. Once again, I say this every once in a while, this podcast is not a hobbyist podcast. If you are an engineer or a producer as a hobby and you want to keep it that way, then some of these things will not make sense. And it's fun to speculate. It's fun to look into what's better. But this podcast episode is also about those trying to be professional. And if you thinking about things takes time to a certain degree, time is money, you're losing dollars per hour even thinking about it. Yeah. You're losing money considering it. Okay, some things will affect your wallet, some things will not. For example, as a hobbyist, it's fun to compare which converters sound better. As a professional, I will argue heavily that that's a fucking waste of your money and time to figure out which converters sound better.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. So today's episode is what's worth thinking about, what's not worth thinking about. And we've had the commenters, the watchers, participating, and they're going to continue to participate on the different things that are talked about within the industry, within the social media realm. We're going to try to discern the nuance, because some things is like worth talking about in one light, and another way it's not worth talking about.
Yeah.
Some things are surprisingly going to be more important than you think. Some things are surprisingly way less important than you think. So we're going to try our very best. We are both dumb and just we are fallible humans, so we're just going to try our best to talk about the nuance and let you come to your own conclusions and decisions and use your own agency. Okay, number one we want to talk about is DAWs.
Yes. Okay, so it doesn't really matter. Now, the only way that it ever is going to matter is depending on the path you're taking. Now, if you want to take this on as a professional career, if you want to open, let's say, a commercial recording studio, Pro Tools all the way. Because if you ever want to work with labels, they literally will ask you in the emails before sending out, it's like, hey, we just want to make sure, is this a Pro Tools operated studio? Yes. Okay, great. Let's move on. You know, because half the time, you know, other things that are on this list are things that they're not asking about. But the one thing they're going to want to make sure is that they can send clients who already have sessions ready that they need to work on from another studio and make sure that it's compatible. If they're going to send you, let's say you want to be a mixer and they want to send you the session from a professional studio, let's say it's an Atlantic artist and they recorded it at Atlantic, they definitely didn't record it in Cubase. So they're going to ask to be able to send you the files. And if you say, oh, I can't accept this file, I only work in Cubase.
Yeah, so yep, actually, sorry. I think Lou is exactly right. And this is something we were talking about before the recording, during just the regular stream too.
Yeah.
As a composer or a producer, it doesn't matter as much because at the end of the day, whatever you compose or produce, you're going to be sending WAV files to the engineer who will probably be mixing it in Pro Tools. Does it make sense? Or who will take the supplementary strings and then we'll record the live strings in Pro Tools.
Mm-hmm.
So the recording engineer, if they get involved, right? So I will say that the reason why it doesn't matter, and this is to talk about the nuance there, is if you arguing or coming to a conclusion about which DAW sounds better is the lowest IQ thinking that you could ever have. There's no possible conclusion that you could ever come to that is not hurtful for the rest of the community or good for your own. Because if you find out that Reason sounds better, but you've only trained on Pro Tools, but nobody else in your community uses Pro Tools or Reason, like because you're an engineer, now you just have to live with the fact that you're using the inferior DAW. Like it's just not, or the other conclusion is like, it's completely subjective too, because what is better?
Yeah.
So it's like, if one person comes up with the answer that's not true for you. Also, we're also talking about something so subtle that it takes a mastery engineer of 30 years experience to potentially maybe hear a difference. Maybe.
Yeah.
And that's even arguable.
Yeah.
Because it nulls out.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, or, you know, or it doesn't, and it doesn't nulls out for a different reason because there's randomization to play. Okay, anyway. It's a waste of time to figure out which is superior, and this is going to be a common thought process throughout this entire episode as well, is even figuring out which is superior, what's better, is typically going to be a waste of time and not conductive to confidence, increasing your ability, helping your, fattening your wallet.
Yeah.
Just not... So with what Lou said, if you are a recording engineer or a mixing engineer, you should highly contribute. You should highly consider Pro Tools specifically because, going back to the golden rule, you do not want to be a nuisance.
Yeah. There's going to be other engineers out there that you see. Like, I know Colt Caperoon talked about this on one of his YouTube channel videos recently, where he's like, sometimes when we get songs in DAWs that I don't use, I'll have some of the staff convert them over to Pro Tools.
That's just,
but that's, he's still accepting them. Sure. And it is in different things. Sure, he's got different producers hitting him up and saying, can I just send you the session? But at the end of the day, he does not deny the fact that he's working in Pro Tools for the most convenience.
It's annoying. Like,
yeah, because now he has to hire a whole other person to do this for him.
Yeah, imagine trying to do that to an A&R who's giving you a shot. This is your one shot to work with Beyonce. And, like, and you're like, oh, but I use Logic. All right, we're just going to hire anybody else.
Anybody else.
Literally anybody else. So it just doesn't matter. That is something. Don't worry about which DAW sounds better. Worry about what you're comfortable with. And if you're trying to be a professional commercial grade engineer, do worry about Pro Tools.
Yeah.
You can be proficient in any other DAW alongside Pro Tools, but it is important to not be a nuisance.
Yeah.
That's just really what it comes down to. The second thing, plugins. Plugins, the only time plugins matter is that if you are sent a Pro Tools session and all of a sudden you have a, you notice that you don't have some of the plugins that they don't have. One thing that I would consider, this is really practical, is that if you are an engineer, instead of buying plugins that are sold to you via ads, like marketing is selling it to you, save that money and only buy plugins when you receive a session that you with plugins that you don't have.
To be honest, that's the way I go about things nowadays. Yeah. I don't give into any of the marketing anymore.
Yeah, like
I used to. I'm not going to lie. I used to give into the marketing and be like, oh my God, this is the latest thing. It's so cool.
Don't just get plugins because they look cool or people tell you they sound good. Like, I would say wait to spend money on plugins until you receive a session that you don't have the plugins for, and then just buy those plugins.
Yeah.
And slowly your plugin library will build over time as well. So, because maintaining that original mix and working off of that is more important than having everything that nobody else has. So that's just what it comes down to. I have plugin settings. For example, I don't think templates are important or a good use of brain cells from a professional level.
There's a lot of nuance type, in that. Yeah, I was about to say, artist type templates, yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, like, even if you use the same artist in the same recording studio on the same mic and you record a song in the same key, you're going to want to tweak those settings each individual time. And you have to recognize that some, like, there's no, like, a universal one-size-fit-all doesn't work. And to be fair, you don't want that to work because that really devalues your job.
Yeah, imagine if... everybody had the same template, then why are you 50 an hour? You should be minimum wage at this point.
Yeah, like if
you
templates
literally
work,
should be minimum
you,
wage.
You should be minimum wage. Yeah. And the thing is, it doesn't. So that is something to consider. Don't worry about the thing that when you watch YouTube videos or when you watch us mix or something like that, when we talk about compressing or EQing, you should try to understand and discern why we made the decision to compress and what issues we're trying to solve or what ways we're trying to enhance it, and not about the tool itself. Mm-hmm. It's a waste of time to think Rev A 1176 is what worked on this vocal and I should be using that. Yeah. No, like, what about the Rev A? Is it because it's really fast attack and release time? Was it because you can compress? Like, what about it? Is it because it's
if
got
If you
like,
watch me mix, I'll use El Rey a lot on nasally vocals, but I'll never mention that it's because the vocal was nasally. It's not because the El Rey is suddenly the greatest compressor and everybody should have it. It served a very unique purpose.
And I think for teachers, that is something, an important skill to have, is to try your very best to talk about why you use the El Rey. Because at the end of the day, anybody that is really professional has been doing this for a long time. They think those things, but it's so automatic that they don't realize that that's even a decision that they're making.
Yeah, it's like, why the El Rey? It sounds great.
Like, yeah, that's why when you go on Mix with the Masters, it's kind of like this lame thing, mostly because like people aren't, they're not explaining very well because they're way too advanced in it. It's so automatic that they're not even like realizing that this is a thought process people have. So just mention that. The next topic real quick, just going through this, is Mac versus PC.
It doesn't really matter. I use a Hackintosh. I'm right in the middle. I'm not going to lie. Like, the reason I say it doesn't really matter is because if it's let's just say we're all working in Pro Tools. Pro Tools works in both.
The only reason why I say it would matter is not because of the processing power. One is faster than the other. One is more expensive than the other. Or Pro Tools runs better on Mac. It's not about any of that. Most recording commercial facilities use Mac. So it would be to your detriment if you didn't know Mac hotkeys.
Okay.
That's the only thing that's important.
Okay. So I'll rephrase then like this. If it's for personal, if this is your personal office and you're the only one that uses it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. But if you're looking to be a recording engineer, if you're looking to work in professional studios, absolutely Mac all the way. It doesn't matter.
Or it's not even about having Mac, because there's no
it's
really
just
like
knowing Mac.
It's not compatibility issues. It's more about it's the hotkeys, because speed is more important.
Yeah,
speed is important. So if you keep messing up because you're like, I usually use a PC, and so like I'm not able to use the Mac hotkeys as fast. So that hurts more than anything else.
So there might be one saving grace for the PC side of things, though. So Pro Tools, now that you can actually change your macros and your buttons and whatever, you could connect a Mac keyboard and then make sure that the PC shortcuts line up with the Mac keyboard shortcuts. So yeah, you could remap.
Yeah, that would be good for you.
Yeah, but it's I'm not gonna lie. It's also so much fucking time.
Yeah, I don't think that it's perfect either. Okay, anyway, we're gonna move on to the next one. Hardware versus software. Come on, y'all. If you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, you know what we're going to say.
And if you've been watching the industry and actually studying up on those who are actually successful in this industry.
Successful, not past
previously successful. Yeah, we're not talking crystalloid algae. We're talking like Tizio and Baines and everybody. Yes, they have their tools. But whenever you actually see their interviews and talk to them in person, it's like, to be honest, majority of the time, it's just in the box. Like, I have some things that I use on my Mixbus, maybe, but that stuff came later.
Yeah, based off of credits, the number of influence, the number of songs, the most money, the most streams anybody can make. The number one mixer of all time up until this point is Serban Ganea, and he is completely in the box. He's famous for being completely in the box.
Yeah.
And
he's not even like secretly in the box. No, he's very publicly open and vocal about being only in the box.
So there's a couple things. If you're a hobbyist, doing things out of the box is fun. Even if you are a professional, I cannot deny that it's really fun to use analog equipment.
Yeah, but it is time consuming.
Yes, it is time consuming. You do have to sacrifice the amount of attention and time that it's going to take to use it. Yeah. And more importantly for me, the reason why I hate mixing in the box, or not hate, I have some level of disdain for mixing in the box, is because of bouncing stems and doing all the alt bounces afterwards.
Yep.
Like it's just gonna take more time and doing recalls.
Just do the Loo method, commit if you can. Not obviously if you're gonna use it on a bus, it's kind of hard to commit a bus, but if you're gonna use it on individual tracks, commit that track so you can avoid that problem later. You're still adding that time in the middle of the session though. So the time doesn't go away. It's just at what point are you making use of that time?
Okay. I don't think analog equipment is going anywhere. I do think it's cool. I also think it's a really good use of business expense to avoid income tax.
But it's like buying a luxury car. You don't buy a Ferrari to go to Vons every day. You need something efficient, you can buy something efficient. Plugins are very, very, very efficient. They're going to sound different, sure, but to be honest, buying an actual TubeTech CL1B just to have it, just to say that you want to run it on a vocal, if you're not booking it commercially on a recording studio level or things of that nature, it's just for you to have fun with on the side. Cool, that's fun, that's great. great. That sounds like the weekend car, but yeah. Your daily driver isn't the CL1B.
Also realize I've heard professional engineers that we all like. Tony Maserati said this, like he has a Fairchild or like a Shadow Hills or something like that. But at the end of the day, he goes in the box because he has to send it to the assistant. Mm-hmm. and the assistant's computer has to bounce things out or has to do something with it. And they don't have the hardware. So like yeah. If he can't print it, so the Lou method, what he talked about is printing it. So committing the track, so creating a new wave file with the hardware printed in, baked in. That is, if you do that, then the assistant gets in. They don't need to have the hardware because it's not running in it real time. That's what's committed into the DAW. But yeah, in general, even the big wigs, the untouchables, the mix engineers that are the top of the game, a lot of them are in the box at some point in the process or another, just because it's when you scale, it's just difficult to do. So that's the reality yeah. of it. Hardware is fun. It's a good business expense. It's aesthetically really awesome. And I feel really cool about it. But to debate whether which one is better or more important or superior, waste of brain cells, yep. Waste of brain cells. And if you try...
To be honest, you could take two of the same piece of gear and get two different results. Arguing the fact of which one is better could literally be one specific unit versus one other specific unit of the same type.
Yes.
It's that pointless. I used to have four distressors and all four of them were different. Even when I tried to calibrate them, they would all calibrate differently.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Okay, this next one is really funny. You're gonna laugh at this one. This one is something that people should think about more often. Is not a waste of brain cells. In fact, it's trendy to think it is, but it's not at all. And this is for engineers as well. Less important for engineers as producers and songwriters, but this goes for anyone in the music industry, mm-hmm. Including A&R as well. If you have anything to do with the part of the creative process, it is never a waste of brain cells. It is never a waste of time to study music theory. It can only help you. That's what it comes down to. Yes, you will learn music theory, and the last lesson that you will learn in music theory is now throw everything that you learned to throw away, throw out everything that you learned and do whatever the heck you want.
I hate to say, but that's also engineering in general.
You
learned how to use the tool? Great. Now do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, but it's important and necessary to learn. It can only help you to learn what other people in the past have thought about the rules of music and audio. Yeah. It can only help you. It is not a waste of time. It's not necessary. I'm not going to say that it's necessary. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to necessarily keep you from gaining certain opportunities, but that is it's just I don't know why it's so trendy to hate on people who focus on theory. Like, it's so, that's so stupid.
I'll say it like this. Help. I don't know enough theory to say that I don't know theory. I know that I'm at that point where if I were to have a conversation on it, I don't know it. But I know enough of it to be able to say, okay, hold on. If this is here, this should actually be here. Hold on, this notation's a little bit off. Okay, hold on, the autotune's not lining up. Maybe it's in the relative minor, relative major. Hold on, let's try a few different things. And those things have saved the session, which means they have saved my job, which it means I've gotten paid and rehired. Sometimes just knowing the little things that might be the issue and knowing how to solve that little issue here and there could be the reason that you're still getting work.
Yeah. Yeah. When it comes to ear training as well, as a mix engineer, I've never had to use counter bass. Like, I've never had to use counter bass ever, and I never will, ever.
Is
like,
it bad that I don't know what counter bass is?
Don't worry about it. If you've done theory, counter bass, just it's an old school way of composing, okay? Never going to learn it. But aural skills, mm-hmm. sight singing, being able to recognize when the song transposes, being able to recognize relative and major, relative keys.
Yeah.
Being able to recognize, so all of that ear training is, I would argue, more important than being able to name a frequency.
Yeah.
Even as an engineer. Because at the end of the day, there's no point of learning the frequency if you don't know what good music sounds like. If you're unable to hear when a vocalist is in tune, it doesn't matter if you can hear 500 hertz.
Yeah.
Like, because the point is not the frequency. The point is it's music. It's an emotional thing. And you use the frequencies to enhance the emotions of the music. Like, it's not a standalone thing. So I would recommend I could argue that level of ear training is significantly more important than listening to white noise and hearing when you boost 500 hertz, 3 dBs, if you can hear it or not. That is not as important to the end product. Sorry. Yeah. You were saying something and I was talking. I apologize.
No, I got my point through. No.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Next one. Oh, this is an interesting one.
Ooh.
Ooh. The general skill of mixing. There's a lot of nuance on this one.
Ooh. Okay, so hold on. Are you saying matters or not matters?
No, that's the point of this conversation.
Okay.
I think the in general some cases skill it doesn't of matter.
Mixing. So your ability to arguably get a technically good mix or a creatively good mix.
So I think if we're my conclusion is, and I'm going to argue towards this conclusion.
Okay.
My conclusion is,
I'll try to play devil's advocate.
It does matter, but not half as much as people think.
Damn it. Okay, hold on.
That's hard to play devil's advocate.
It's hard to play devil's advocate for because it's a double-edged sword that works in both ways. Because
I'm gonna argue towards it. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna argue for and against it. I'm gonna argue against it by saying that. For progression to exist, the threshold needs to be pushed. I think we should always be seeking a way to make things sound better and find more ways to get more out of what we have in front of us.
Yes. We should never lower the standard.
We should never lower the standard, no. But we should always with be pushing said, the
standard higher. Yeah.
But that said, a great engineer is somebody who knows when a lower quality is the best quality, meaning that the reverb might sound a little muddy, but that might be the vibe. And at the moment that you start seeking excellence and it starts skill. Taking away from a record means that though it may technically be better, maybe the mix skill is that much better, your ability to actually translate the song is not better.
So In that case, it does take skill to recognize when something sounds worse, but that's better. Like, that's a skill in itself.
Yeah, but so, your gut instinct is that part of where the skill comes from.
A lack of skill is not being able to tell.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So, like, if you can tell, that's some skill. I think that someone that's been mixing for years are typically better than they think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not the gap between me and someone that's just mixed 1,000 songs for fun as a hobbyist probably isn't as big as everybody assumes.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say the only reason why I say skill does matter is because at the end of the day, if you are not good enough that you keep getting revisions and you're not able to, the skill of communication, the skill of being able to infer what the client means when they ask for revisions, the skill of communicating and showing up to meetings on time, the skill of being able to bounce stems 100% of the time without making mistakes, that's so unprofessional. Like, even if you miss bounce stems once, that's just annoying and a nuisance to everybody.
Yeah, because it's a waste of time at this point.
Yeah, so like if you're like, the skill of never miss bouncing stems ever is something that I'm willing to pay extra money for.
Yeah.
Even in an assistant. Those skills are more important than how to dial in a compressor, which I'm not denying the importance of. I think it's important to use a compressor, but I do think that the skill of being able to dial in a compressor is not as hard to find in the world as someone that can dial in a compressor and respond to emails on time.
Yep.
Like that. So it's like,
Okay. So in that context, you will constantly see recording engineers that are technically underqualified for certain roles. We've seen this in the studio a bunch of times. We're not trying to point anybody out, but I've walked into sessions where a client says, there's so much latency, the studio sucks, this and that. And they're trying to make a complaint and they're trying to like see what they can get out of the complaint. Like, we cancel the session, get a refund, what? And I walk in, I'm like, okay, hold on. Let me see if I can figure it out. And we're talking like a guy that brought in a big client. And he had Ozone and L2 limiter on the master bus. And I'm like, well, no fucking wonder there's latency on it. Like, what the fuck are you thinking? But here's the thing. He may not have been technically great, but he's good enough to know what it takes to work with these people, get consistent results and all that kind of stuff. There was a little delay in the session, but it was user error. Fine, whatever. But you know what the other side of that skill set was? Me walking into the room with a calm mindset, knowing how to communicate in a difficult situation, get them going, make sure that they're good, and make sure that everybody is on the same page now.
Yeah, I would argue, and this is something that like, it's so obvious that I don't even know why this is something to consider. If there's two applications for a recording engineer in the studio that I own, one of them is much higher skilled, but is a diva or has any level of pride, versus the other person who's slightly underqualified, but is the most reliable human being ever.
Yeah.
I will always pick the reliable human being.
You know, and I'm not going to lie. Like, one of my favorites of the recent hires is like a manager at Starbucks. And he's still learning. But when we're talking consistency and showing up every time and being there when they're supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, consistency is there every time.
Always. That's a human nature thing.
I would rather take that than the most skilled person who's inconsistent and can't show up on time.
And if you are the type of person who are really reliable and really got a strong head on your shoulders and you're good at mixing, you are unstoppable. There is no force in this world that could ever stop you from succeeding.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say that, again, this is a statistical thing. Those that are high in openness or very creative are have statistically a negative correlation organization in general. Yeah. I forgot the exact word, the terminology for it. But typically that those that are very creative are less organized and more chaotic. So if you will be one in a million potentially, if you can keep your life in order and have good skill, creative skill. Like that is that you are such a rare human being that you will do well. Most people cannot do both.
Yeah.
And I will say that you can become that person through strict and pure discipline
yeah.
with yourself and self-respect. That's pretty open-ended. Again, skill is important. Learning how to use a compressor, what an EQ does, how Pro Tools works is an important skill, but I will always hire the person that is under-trained, but is reliable to all hell. So it's like, it's important, but not as important as you think. In the higher end of the game, then skill becomes part of the nuisance. Like if I'm a mixer and I get hired to do a label project, but I'm just not getting the revisions right because I'm not good enough, then that or becomes a nuisance. That becomes a nuisance. And then at that point, I might not get hired again.
Yeah.
So like at that point, then skill does matter. But in general, especially if you're young or trying to get into this, or you're not quite into this, like I wouldn't overstress about how good you are. And I would even argue that most of us with technology and how much simpler technology makes everything that we do, especially with the introduction of AI, we're going to see what AI does to the music industry. Skill is going to become less and less important. And it's all going to become about accountability and responsibility.
Yeah.
I think that's important. Okay. This is another thing that is significantly more important than people realize. Something that I'm a big fan of is personal branding. The only way to escape your personal branding is through the grave. You cannot escape personal branding. It's very, very important. And again, that goes back to reliability, consistency. You don't have to be a content creator. You don't have to be DK and Lou on the Mixing Music Podcast.
You are the brand.
But you are making a brand regardless of whether you're doing it on purpose or not. So just make sure that you're doing the right thing and being honest. If you lie for personal gain once, or if you become a nuisance once, that will potentially affect your career.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird conversation that I had the other day where like brand came up as to why I would not do something, which was funny. Like I was just talking to somebody and they're like, you know, we could just take this. I'm like, I'm not just going to take something, dude. Like it's fucking $5. Like I understand it's small, it fits in your pocket and shit, but like I would be mortified if like I became like the local guy that stole something that was worth $5 and I'm over here trying to build a brand of somebody who is asking to be paid a certain amount to be held at a certain level of respect and this and that. It's not within my brand. It's not who I am. I'm sorry. I know it's tiny. I know it's a corporate company. I know that they will make it up in insurance and whatever, all the other fucking excuses you see all the time, but it's not who I am. This is not who I want to be. This is not what I want to be represented as if anybody were to ever see it, you know? So I'm sorry, like my brand is too important to me to make certain decisions.
Yeah, dude, the threshold, it's interesting. There are going to be some people where they're so damn good at what they do. Their skill is so high that people are willing to put up with their bullshit.
Yeah.
I will say that there is a threshold for that, but that threshold is fucking Kanye West. Like you have to be the top in the entire world before you can start spewing bullshit and people are still willing to deal with you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad in its own way because now people are only becoming your friend because they have something to gain from you. So like, it's not necessarily ideal either. There's a lot more nuance and conversation that we could dive into on that. But I will say, like, again, personal branding is you don't want to be known as the guy that's really good, but he's just a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Just don't be that guy. Okay. That's branding is important.
Actually, recently got an offer to job because of that issue. I mixed a show for somebody and they liked the crowd like walked up to him like, this is like the best I've ever heard you, this and that, blah, blah. And after the show, like we were talking and like the guitarist told me, he's like, to be honest, the only reason when we hired you is like the last guy was good too. It's just, he was always an asshole. He was always talking shit. He was just like yelling at everybody. I was like, I don't know why the fuck you guys would work with them.
Just not pleasurable to be around.
Nope.
And that changes. You know, some people are going through shit in their life. So just as much as you can.
Apparently it was a constant for that guy. Apparently. I don't know why.
Yeah, there's some people are miserable. That's fine. Okay, whatever. Another thing that I want to talk about this before we move on to the next one is also branding is directly tied to your wallet.
Oh yeah.
The difference between, again, if the skill gap is not like the difference between Manny Mariquin and you, listener of the podcast, is not as wide as you think it is. I mean, there's probably a big gap, but it's probably not some unscalable mountain that you will never reach. And it turns out a lot of Manny's records are mostly mixed by his assistants who are the same age or potentially younger than you. So it's like it's not some sort of unscalable mountain. The one thing that isn't unscalable, like it's what the one mountain of a difference is Manny Marroquin's branding.
Yeah.
He is the guy that will always get it done, can do late night sessions, or has assistants will stay late night, has the systems to take on, has an ETA, has a schedule, will be able to send out invoices, is never like is able to be, is get the job done. That is his branding.
Yeah.
And the difference between charging $3,000 to $5,000 a song to $500 a song is almost always, I will say, as close to 100% as branding as I like, as like is almost 100% branding.
Yeah.
I'm not quite 100%, but well, I would say it's pretty, it's going to be really close.
I'll
it's going to be
like
way
this,
more.
Like, you know who did a really good job recently with branding? Killshot. Like, Killshot's branding has not only like made like a conversation happen, which was, is it okay to take photos with your clients and all that? That's always been like a hot button topic. But his brand was like, I take photos with all my clients and I post those photos almost every day. I show that I'm busy. And because he looks so busy, it could be the reality could be that those are all photos that were taken all in one day and they're spurred out throughout weeks, right? But either way, the point is, his branding is so on point that he started getting hired even more. He even talked about it in interviews, how like doing that constant, like posting and making sure that his brand was consistent, made it to where his income actually increased. And now he actually, I think he has a sub label, right? He has a subsidiary, Killshot Music or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of thoughts that I'm not going to share on the internet about that. But in general, branding changed his income.
Yeah.
Branding changed his income. That's really important. Much more than a skill, overcoming a skill gap is branding. Because even with branding, this is really sad to say, but this is true. Practically speaking, if you are a mix engineer and you have, if you have the brand that you know what you're doing, having the brand that you know what you're doing is more important than actually knowing what you're doing. Make you more money than actually know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the long term, because eventually people will catch on and you don't want to like lie to people, and people on the internet will be like, I paid a lot of money for this guy and he actually kind of sucked. Eventually it's going to catch up.
So not towards anybody specific, but I have had that experience where like, I'm like, oh, you got to work with him. How was it? And it's like, actually it wasn't worth it. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. So again,
whoa.
But a lot of that, even
it could also be case by case.
Mixing is so subjective that it could also be like they felt like it wasn't good, even though it actually was. They just felt like it wasn't, which comes back down to branding. Like if you have good, solid branding, if you have great communication skill, and you made them feel like you gave it your best shot, that's gonna help you have more happy clients than actually the skill. Because you can have the skill and just not give them the confidence, not be able to give them the confidence that you know what you're doing.
And sometimes it's
they're not going to be happy no matter what.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a matter of misunderstanding of each other's like role. Like I've been hired by somebody to mix a song and I'm like, cool, send me the song, blah, blah. Mixed it. And they're like, oh, I thought you were going to like do like some beat drops, this and that. I'm like, oh, that's more production engineering. I can. I just didn't know that that's what you wanted.
Okay. Next one.
Let's do it.
I missed one. Is converters.
Aha.
One converter is better than another converter.
So I'm gonna be honest. If you ever have that conversation with any, we'll just say normies for fun, just for fun. If you were to ever have a conversation of like which bounce sounded better, and it was. One was bounced by a Burl B2 bomber, and the other one was an Antelope Omicron or whatever the fuck it's called, the $3,600 one. And another one was the fucking, what's the gold one again?
Lavery.
The Lavery, yeah. They're going to look at you and think you're fucking insane.
Yeah.
They're going to look at you. I kid you not. Most people cannot hear the difference between a Wave and an MP3. Or, you know, so like, I remember going to school. Oh my God, no. The best example was the one that happened at our studio. A friend of ours, we showed him a song with a limiter that's like over limited by like, what was it doing? Like 10, 15 decibels of limiting. And then the other one was like a light tap of limiting. And he was like, I don't hear a difference.
Oh yeah. It was like kind of insane.
And that was
actually.
The artist. Like, we were insane. Both dumbfounded. Like, and like,
it's like, whoa, you can't hear that.
Like, seriously, you don't hear that.
Like, it was such a big difference that it was just like, anyway.
Now I will say this, converters can make a pretty big difference in a very specific way. Like one might just have that extra little bit of transient. Like I like the Hilo for that reason. Like I think the pop of like a snare or something really is a little nicer. right? But the other day, I finally got my Grace M905 connected via SPDIF so I can listen to the Grace's converters, right? The Grace is a monitor controller with just DAC on it, and the Hilo is a full-on, like, mastering converter, and they both are almost at the same price tag. I'm not going to lie. The difference was so extremely negligible that I can understand why Jesse Ray Mixes at one point just put an optical cable on the back of his Mac computer and plugged it into his Grace, because it was already good enough coming out of the monitor controller that, like, having a Symphony or having an Apollo, having a Burl or anything else was not going to make the difference necessary to really matter.
There you go.
Actually, Jesse's a great example of, like, no interface mixing. You used to plug into the headphone jack of your Mac at one point.
Yeah, using the built-in converter. There was a, I will say, I will not deny that converters sound different.
Yeah.
And I think in general, the last thing that we're going to talk about is competition and what is better, defining what is better and best or great. Mm-hmm. I think it's a waste of time to say that one is objectively better than another. No. I think that converters and converter quality has almost nothing to do with wallet size and how much monetary success you can have. No. I think as someone that always pursues a higher level of audio, mm-hmm. I think it is important to develop your skill and to eventually get to a point where you are curious. But I would say that if you are mixing in the box, you are not even using the converters. Like, the print that you make is not going through any converters.
Yeah.
Like, the only conversion that you're doing, if you're in the box, the only conversion you're doing is D to A for monitoring.
Yeah.
But, like, the final bounce or the print that you're doing, you're not going out of the interface back into the interface or into another interface. So, for example, a mastering engineer that has a DA, a DAC, where they go out of the box from their computer, out of the box into a bunch of outboard gear, and then they have a separate ADC, mm-hmm. where it's an analog to digital converter, then, yeah, conversion may change things a little bit, but yeah. Again, it is, and it's. I'm not going to say, like, you should pursue what sounds better, and I think the pursuit of more knowledge and the pursuit of superior, raising the standard is always an honorable pursuit.
Yeah,
but you have to confirm that it almost it does not affect the wallet.
Yeah, it does not affect the wallet. Now, I will make the argument for opting in for better DACs when possible.
I can mix on a Focusrite and still outmix you. I will always say that.
Yeah, I agree that that's one way. I'm just saying that what you know and what you're able to do will outweigh the quality of your converter. But
yeah,
let's just be honest. If you have more information in front of you, you can make a more decisive decision. Is that not the case in any industry? An educated decision is better than an uneducated decision. So I'm just saying, if your interface is really that bad, or you just want to up your quality and it's going to supposedly help you make faster decisions because you can hear more detail all of a sudden, sure, go for it. Enjoy your experience. That's the way I look at it. Enjoy your experience.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's important. I think enjoying the experience and raising the standard for yourself is what's important.
But it's if not you the think that your DAC is what's holding you back from doing better, then you're wrong, because your DAC, it only has one job, and that's just to give you audio. Guess what? Your headphone jack does the same fucking job.
Yeah.
One of them's obviously a little bit better, sure. But it's not going to stop you from making a great reverb choice, from making great compression choices. Now, there may be a little more detail, but once again, that goes back to me saying, enjoy your experience. I know that I want to sit in front of great speakers all day long. If I'm going to do this all day long, I hope I'm not mixing on, I'll be honest, I don't know how some people mix on NS10s all day and say that they love the sound of them. I can't correlate myself to it. But sitting in front of Strauss all day, Yeah, I definitely love mixing in front of those all day. They sound great.
Yeah. I will say, this is a bonus one, I think speakers do matter more than people think.
Yeah. Like the speaker matters 1,000 times more than the converter.
Yeah. As a mixer.
Yeah.
Because we're not recording. Because if you're recording, then, like, we could talk about mics and interface and
preamps. I still think your monitoring matters slightly more, because the detail I would hear in Strauss versus KRKs is so big that I might make a different mic choice based on the information presented to me. The mic could be the same, but the speakers being different would show me two different points of information.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to end this episode because I do have a meeting coming up. But the last thing that I want to talk about, there's two things. One brief thing that I do want to talk about, and I'm going to combine these two. Exercise and mental health, from a professional level, is significantly more important.
Yeah.
It's a pretty consistent and common thing, especially that comes with age.
Yeah.
Sustainability, being able to endure the decades of being in this pretty demanding industry, is important. Mm-hmm. And one consistent piece of advice from anybody at all levels is health, exercise, diet, and mental health. Learning to stay passionate with music, learning to take care of yourself. That is something that is really, and again, that can also is directly coordinated. Like if you are the type of person that is able to exercise, that is usually a projection of the discipline that you carry, which is again, more important than the skill that you have. Do not underestimate the importance of exercise and mental health, not necessarily to get strong, but it's a lot for the discipline, and it is for the health, like, so you don't have a cardiac arrest while just from the stress, because it's sometimes, especially recording engineers, like, it's not an uncommon story for an engineer to get a heart attack because they were fat and stressed.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so normal that, like, it's a conversation we need to have.
Yeah. I can confidently say that I got really big because I stopped exercising. I used to, like, play sports and do a lot of things. And just slowly sat in the studio all day. And I'm not saying that I'm blaming the studio. I'm just saying it's really easy to gain weight when all you do is sit around all day working on songs, sitting in your chair, eating food, and not going outside for even just a light jog. Like, if you're one of the benefits of exercising aside from the health things is, like, you know, ADHD is a very chaotic thing, and sometimes it's a blessing. You get to learn things very quickly, and you pick things up as you go, and it's amazing. You know, new skill sets are always fun, but you know what that is also? It's a very fucking scattered brain. So if you need help focusing, sometimes just going to the gym for a little bit or going on a run can help you refocus yourself for a little bit and get you back in order.
Yeah. It's not about being skinny or being a certain shape.
Yeah.
It's about health and being able to take on stress and being strong enough to be physically strong enough to be able to take on stress, which will directly correlate with the size of your wallet and the longevity of your career and the happiness of your family. And as well as the discipline that it takes to do those things. I think, and mental health therapy, is incredibly important and directly correlated to the last thing that we need to talk about before I really do need to get going. The last thing that we need to talk about, which is that, I'm going to break it down for you. I don't know if this is not based on statistics. This is just based on conjecture and speculation and feeling based on personal observation and bias, okay? But we work, in my perspective, we work in an industry filled with broken parenting, broken homes, neurotic, chaotic, creative individuals. This is just the nature of the, if you work at a cybersecurity, most people are better functioning adults than any major label. Well, okay, some of the managers and stuff, people working in the labels are really well put together. But in general, like, you have to be aware that this is a really broken thing. And one of the things that can be, that is important to recognize is being okay. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna call it as competition. There's healthy competition and then there's unhealthy competition. Trying to prove and rationalize that something is better is not important and is a waste of brain cells. Using a competition to better yourself and to raise your own standard is very practical and good use of competition. There's a big difference. One is I feel inferior and I need to prove myself by disproving others. That is the bad type of competition. The good type of competition that you can use as a benefit for yourself is I am among comrades, I am among friends, and I have a rival. I'm creating, like, you are my rival, and you push me to be better, and I push you to be better. That is a good thing because we're doing, it's friendly competition among friends. But if I'm like, I need to be better than Lou, and I am less of a person if I'm not doing just as good as Lou, that is a bad competition, a bad level of competition. Again, we talked about in the last episode.
If you want to know what healthy competition looks like, you can share points with each other about each other's growth and see how each other can push each other to that same level.
Yeah, so I will say it is normal for human nature, like, this is also part of evolution and culture. It is normal to feel competition. It is normal to be overwhelmed. It is normal to feel like you're not enough, to feel inferior. Mm-hmm. What I am saying, what is really important, is to take the time to get therapy or to seek healing, to read books, to what if you are very hyper-religious, then you need to practice your religion in a way to not make yourself feel better than other people, but to be okay with who you are. That the purpose of the religion should be to help you be okay with yourself, not to make you feel superior. The idea of needing to be superior or needing to be validated is never okay. Does that make sense? That is something I want to be clear. I want to be clear about. If you are a Christian and you think that you know more than everybody else because you are a Christian and you are superior, you miss the entire fucking point. That is, you miss the entire point. It's not about superior and inferiority. We are all from the dirt. We all suck. None of us know what we're doing. And if you accept that and learn that, then you will not take things personally. You will not take things personally. You will be happier and you will do better in the industry. I think this will reflect your income because you'll be able to deal with more stress. You'll be able to, not taking things personally will help things move smoother. And you'll be able to have a happier and a more sustainable career without wanting to kill yourself. I know that that's like, it's like kind of like funny, haha, like, yeah, you don't want to like end up being like kill yourself. Like I'm being dead serious. Like, becoming suicidal, becoming really depressed is a serious issue that as creatives, we are especially susceptible to. Make sure that you realize where you're having unhealthy competition, unhealthy comparison, and you need to fucking clear your conscience and get right with yourself and do whatever it takes to be okay with yourself. Because all of us are valuable. All of us are contributing to this world. And how much you contribute or in what ways you contribute should not affect your happiness. And it does all of us naturally, and you need to figure this shit out. Okay, however path you do it, whether it's through meditation, whether it's through prayer and religion, whether it's through getting therapy, you need to figure this out. And this does directly affect your happiness and your wallet, and it will make you stand out above all the rest. If you can have a genuine smile and actually look like you're enjoying your life while working with high maintenance clients, that will affect how people look at you. That will affect your personal brand. And it's I think, is completely underrated as far as value to your career path. Okay, I got to get going. Any thoughts on that?
No.
Sorry, was I also pretty clear on that too? Like,
yeah.
Is there anything confusing concise about what I said? Cool. I'm a big proponent on mental health. Big proponent. Advocate of mental health. So on that note, I do need to get going. So thank you so much. Go subscribe to the exclusive episodes of the Mixing Music Podcast, where we have technical tips all day, well, 2 days a week. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive for exclusive episodes. Subscriber only episodes, $4 a month or $40 a year. Again, that's mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. And on that note,
happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
Oh, shit.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.